So I'm with Back to God Ministries International, which is the media missions agency of the Christ Reformed Church. I have some slides. I'm going to try and tell you a little bit about the work that we do, what my team does in particular. So next slide, please. So Back to God Ministries International is the old Back to God Hour. We've been around for over 80 years, broadcasting the gospel on behalf of the Christian Reformed Church to the world. We do it now in 10 different language groups. So we have ministry teams, some of whom work for the Christian Reformed Church, some are partners with other denominations like the Reformed Church of Japan or the Reformed Church of Brazil, Reformed Church of Indonesia. But we have indigenous teams in all those places creating radio broadcasts, creating blogs on the internet, doing social media, creating media to talk to their neighbors in their own language, in their own culture, about the gospel, about spreading the gospel to in the way that makes sense to not only in the native language of their listeners, but the native culture too as well. So next slide, please. So when we get together as a leadership team, this was taken last week, we all look like the UN because our ministry leaders are all from the places where they do the work. So Masawa is from Japan, and Hernandez is from Brazil, and Mark Nabier is from Burkina Faso, and they are ministering in all those places in their own cultures. Next. But my team, I'm the ethnic North American. I'm the ethnic English-speaking person that leads a team of a bunch of ethnic North Americans who speak English, and broadcast and publish and offer all kinds of material through the internet on behalf of the Christian Reformed Church to our neighbors right here at home. We do this through six programs today and some of these others, and I'll tell you a little bit about them. Next, please. So the Today Devotional has been around since 1950, and it has a wide following far beyond the Christian Reformed Church. Next, please. So our website, for example, reaches 500,000 people in a given year and has millions of pages viewed in a given year. But that's just the website. Next, please. We also send the Today out beyond the paper version. We send it out on email to over 160,000 people every day. So every day we send 160,000 emails to people who read the Today, who get it. And we can even tell when people are opening it and reading it and how long they spend with it. So we know that we are delivering, people are actually reading the Today Devotional over 8 million times in a given year. Next, please. So that's the Today Daily Devotional is sort of this backbone in some ways, because all kinds of people need to read the gospel, need to spend time in the Word, need to spend a little time in prayer. But then we have some other programs that are more narrow in focus. So Family Fire is a project that talks about marriages and parenting and in-laws and all the relationships that we have at home. Next, please. And it began with kind of a question of how do you do marriage ministry on Facebook? It was years ago already now when Facebook was a brand new idea. No one was talking about marriages there. So we got on there and said, how can we help you in your marriage? How can we come alongside you as a community? And there are tens of thousands of people who follow us on Facebook. Next, please. And then we also have a website that offers all kinds of articles and blog posts and commentary from pastors and therapists about family and relationships. Next. And we email those out every day to another 60,000 people who get familyfire.com emails from us. Next, please. And we have collected some of those things into little booklets. So we offer booklets on how to fight fair. Everyone fights with their spouse, so how do you fight well? How do you fight fairly? We have some advice on that. We talk about forgiveness. Forgiveness is something we've heard from people over and over about how it's a struggle to figure out how do you forgive someone who's done you wrong, especially in marriage. So we collected some information about that, and we share that with people. And those have been downloaded tens of thousands of times. Next, please. Another project we have is called Think Christian, and Think Christian is all about understanding popular culture from a theological and biblical perspective. How do you spend time, when you spend time watching movies watching TV, listening to record albums, or they're not even CDs, MP3 downloads, podcasts. When you do all these, how are you thinking about your faith? Next, please. So we talk about all the popular culture that our world is constantly pushing at us, and we talk about, how do you see God in this? Where do you see the gospel reflected? How do you think theologically about your leisure time and the media you consume? The research consistently tells us that people are spending more and more and more time with a screen. The TV at home, the computer at work, the phone in your hand, everywhere. People are spending all kinds of time with their screens, with consuming media, and we want to try to be there. Next, please. So one of the things that we put together is a pop culture primer where we talk about how to think about all areas of media in a summary sort of way. Next, please. And then Groundwork. Groundwork is another project that is sort of the traditional radio program. It's kind of what replaced the Back to God Hour sermon program. Next, please. So Groundwork is two pastors talking together about Scripture, about exegeting the Word together, and it's more of a dialogue than a sermon. And they work through Bible passages, they work through series, they'll look at the prophets, they'll look at the gospel, they'll consider a theme throughout Scripture. But these guys are constantly on the air doing exegetical work and sharing that with through a radio program. Next. So they have a strong following on radio stations, but also most of our traffic these days comes through podcasts, through people come to our website and listen online. Next. Or they follow us on Facebook and can pick us up there. Next. And then we have a Kids Corner. Kids Corner has been historically a 30-minute sitcom radio drama for kids. So it's a lot like radio theater. It's these lizard characters, Liz and Lucille, they get into all kinds of trouble, and through the help of their friends, family, and Scripture, they find their way out of it like a good sitcom would. Next. But there's a whole cast of characters but it's all theater of the mind. It's a radio. It's all on podcast. So the kids can imagine these lizard characters running around this fictional village. Next, please. And so Kids Corner has got several hundred episodes available on our website, along with some audio Bible stories, some Bible games and puzzles and things too for kids. Next. And then finally, Church Juice. Church Juice is a little different because Church Juice started with the idea of, we're doing all this media as a denomination, but how do we also do media at the congregational level, church by church by church? So Church Juice is all about trying to work with churches and consult with churches and advise churches on how to do media well at the local level. How does a local church use email? How does a local church use its website? What's a communication strategy look like for a local church? How does a local church use private Facebook groups, which are Facebook's newest feature? How do you use that in ministry to work with your neighbors? We talk about all these kinds of questions and issues. And next, please. Publish it on our blog, send them out through email, and work with those who are in congregations doing communications mission. Next. And then finally, after all that programming, there's a whole new layer that we're building of prayer and follow-up, because we've reached tens of thousands and probably millions of people through all this media in the last several years. And then we've asked them, how can we pray for you? How can we come alongside you? We may never meet you, but we can pray for you. And over time, we've grown a list of 5,000 prayer warriors and volunteers who pray with us. So we have a prayer team of 5,000 people across the country. And then all of our listeners send us requests, prayer requests, and then we share them with our 5,000 prayer partners, and we pray with people and for people online, and we pray for all those who write us. We pray for all those who ask for prayer. So our prayer ministry has really grown. Next, please. And so we send out via email to our prayer partners the prayer requests that we receive from those who listen to our programming. Next. And so this is a little sample. Our prayer leader said to me, he sent this to me the other day. He said, I had two kinds of responses that come in today, and I just thought they were very interesting. We had two replies. One said, please pray for this miraculous healing for my boyfriend. And then later we found out he had actually passed away. That prayer was not answered, but we prayed with her and for her through the whole process. And he was continuing to minister to her online. Another few minutes later, he got a follow-up email from a grandma whose grandson had run away from home. And then she was so happy to share the good news that her grandson had come home again. And so these are the kinds of stories that we receive so that we can come alongside people we may never meet in person, people who only write us email or comment to us on Facebook, but we are ministering to them with pastoral care and the gospel through all the media technology. Next, please. So that's a glimpse of what we're doing as Reframe Media. Reframe Media is our English language ministry. That's my team that I lead, and those six programs with our prayer. That's what Reframe Media is. But then when you think about those 10 languages, these 9 other language teams in Japan, they're doing this in Japanese. In Brazil, they're doing similar kinds of things in Portuguese. In Central America, they're doing this in Spanish. In Russia, we have a pastor who pastors in St. Petersburg and Moscow and the Ukraine. And he's got people who are doing this in those places as well. This is the kind of reach that Back to God has established through as the voice of the Christian Reformed Church. When all of us as congregations and as people of the Christian Reformed Church get together to do media missions, we are accomplishing a lot and reaching millions across the world. So I want to thank you for your support, for your invitation. I bring you greetings from Back to God and all those leaders you saw and all the staff. There's about 200 staff around the world. Thank you so much for even hearing about what we're doing, supporting us through all these years, and knowing that this is our work together. This is what we do as a Christian Reformed Church when we all band together to proclaim God's word. But I'm going to turn to our passage for the day, which is Isaiah 61. We're going to explore a little bit of Isaiah 61 and what that means for us. Isaiah 61 in your pew Bibles, I believe, is page 1157. I'm going to read the first 3 verses of Isaiah 61. Isaiah 61. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to preach good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of gladness instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. So many years ago when I was a kid, there was a TV show that I could sometimes catch in reruns, and it was called What's My Line? It was kind of on the air before I was even around much, so I mostly saw it in reruns. But the trick of this show, the core of it, was you tried to guess somebody's profession. So there were three panelists, usually celebrities of some sort, and they would ask questions, yes or no questions, and playing 20 questions essentially, and trying to guess the job of somebody who was one person who was sitting before them. And sometimes it might be like a mailman, something very basic every town would have, and they had to try to figure out. So and they, and Or sometimes it might be like a CEO of a famous company or a governor of some state somewhere. So they would have all kinds of people on this program. And these guys had to try and guess from the evidence, from the yes or no questions, from what the guy looked like, the way he sounded. And sometimes they would try to confuse them, and they'd put the milkman in a three-piece suit and the CEO in a milkman suit. They would try to confuse them. And, you know, maybe you've played this game a little bit informally, right? You sort of, you go to the gas station and there's somebody next to you and you kind of look at them and go, what's, they're dressed a little funny or differently, or what do you wonder what they do for a living? And you're at the grocery store and there's some, I went to the hardware store yesterday in my gym shorts because I needed something quick. And I probably look like a homeless guy to somebody. And I just needed to get there really quick and I didn't have time to, I was almost in my PJs and people probably looked at me strange and said, who's this guy? It's a kind of a natural thing we do, is just sort of wonder about people you encounter. Isaiah, I think, plays this game a little bit in that he's talking here in Isaiah 61 about something like a job description. He's talking about a job for somebody special, and he's describing what this is supposed to look like. So at this point in the book of Isaiah, he's speaking to people who are in exile. He's speaking to people who are desperate and taken from their homes and longing to return home. He's speaking to people who are nearly enslaved and removed from their hometowns. They long to be free. They long to be free of the burdens imposed by them, by powerful outsiders. They long to be free from the temptations and negative pressures on their culture, from all the strangers around them. They long to be free to worship God in a way that they know they should, and they're miserable. And they wonder, where is God in this? It's an active question. Why are we suffering if we are supposed to be God's people? Why are we in such a mess? And Isaiah comes to these people in Isaiah 60, the previous chapter. It starts out with those great words of epiphany. Arise, shine, for the glory of the Lord is dawning upon you. He's speaking to a suffering people, and he's speaking good news of reawakening, of restoration, of relief. He's talking about, I would like to say, a reframing in some ways. We chose the name for our ministry, Reframe Media, because we want to talk about when the light of the gospel shines in your life, when you see what God is already doing in your life changed, your life is reframed. When the light of the gospel moves the shadows of your world, you see how you have been in God's pocket the whole time. You've been in God's hand. He has been taking care of you this whole time. Your world is reframed, and that's our goal as missionaries, is to reframe your world with the gospel. And Isaiah is speaking these words to these people who are suffering, talking about God's justice, God's mercy, God's forgiveness spilling over into your life like light coming at the dawn. The light of God moves the shadows. And then now in Isaiah 61, he's beginning to talk about who is going to do this reframing. Who is going to change these shadows? Who is going to spill the light? Actually, there's three who's, really. There's a who, a whom, and a to whom that we can talk about. So in Isaiah 61, in verse 1, we hear about the who. The Spirit of Lord Yahweh, the sovereign God, is on me. The Spirit of Yahweh is on me, and Yahweh has anointed me. The Lord God is the who. The active who here is none other than God himself. This is his work. And he is moving. These are big events, and they are his action. God himself is present. God himself is moving. God himself is going to move those shadows and cause the dawn to come. And the to whom, or the whom that's he's speaking to, is really kind of, it shows up as me. It shows up as first person language. The one who is speaking here is talking about himself. God is active, but he's doing this to me. This is our home. And this whole passage is packed with these very surprising words. This passage is packed with powerful words. The Spirit of the Lord is on me is a kind of a phrase that gets used when we talk about a prophet. When prophets prophesy, they say, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, and here's what he had to say, and now I'm going to share it with you. The me that's speaking here is talking about becoming a prophet. And then the next line, Yahweh has anointed me. Yahweh has anointed me. And the word anoint in Hebrew is the same word as Messiah. The Lord has Messiah'd me. When this passage is rendered in Greek, the word for anoint is Christ. So in this word, anoint, it literally is Messiah in Hebrew. It's Christ in Greek. So this person, the whom, is talking about being anointed or Messiah or Christed. And then he's also talking about being sent. Because, the word that he uses here is the same word in the Greek as apostle. We have these titles that we think of. We talk about Jesus Christ, and as if it's his last name, or even a title that he is the Christ. Christ means chosen, anointed. And apostle, we talk about the apostle Paul, the apostle Matthew. Apostle is a description. It's also a job description. An apostle is somebody who is sent. It's an emissary. It's a missionary. It's an ambassador. God is active here, and he is putting his hand on somebody, the whom, making them a prophet, making them an anointed Messiah and Christ, making them an apostle who is sent. The Lord is doing a powerful thing. And when we see these kinds of words together, they only appear in Scripture together like this, these phrases, these formulas, when we're talking about a king. Only kings are both have the Spirit of the Lord upon them and are anointed. So this is a packed little passage where we're talking about the whom as being a prophet king who is being Messiah'd and apostled. All these rich words put together. And then we have the to whom. To whom is this prophet king who is Messiah and an apostle being sent? And it's a little surprising. He's sent to the poor. The first object there is the poor. Not the repentant, not the sorry, not the guilty necessarily, but the poor. But then following phrases expand who we're talking about. The whom is sent to the brokenhearted, the captives, the prisoners, slaves are, and those who are treated unjustly, mourners and those who grieve and are defeated, those who have ashes and mourning and a despairing spirit. God sends his Messiah to those who need rescue and all the ways they need rescuing. And of course, this includes sinners and those who know their guilt full well. Those who are enslaved and addicted to their own sin. But it's more than sinners. It includes all those who suffer. It includes those who are weary under the consequences of their own sin and those who suffer the injustice and oppression of the sin of others. God is speaking and sending this good news to all who suffer. Do you see yourself in this group, right? Do you see yourself as one in need of rescue? Because God is speaking to you. God is sending his Christ, Messiah, to you. You too are part of the ones to whom God is apostling his Messiah. And he's sending that Messiah with a what? He's sending that Messiah to a suffering people with a task. He's sending them to him to bring good news, to literally evangelize. Evangelism, evangel, means good news. The word gospel is an old English word that means good news. We have fake news we hear about in the press all the time. We hear lots of bad news in the news. But God brings good news, great news, news to people who suffer, that their broken hearts will be bound up and mended, to proclaim freedom to the prisoners, good news to declare God's favor to victims and vengeance on those who act unjustly, to comfort mourners, to provide and bestow gifts to those in despair. Who doesn't want these kinds of gifts? God sends his Christ with good news, and the result is, all this is with the result that God-stricken people are restored to honor. His people in exile will be restored to honor, that you might be called oaks of righteousness, that you might be seen as a planting of the Lord, a tree that bears fruit, a planting of Yahweh himself, all to the display of God's splendor, all to the display of God's glory. The good news all points to God. It's all about increasing his reputation. We share the good news so that others will see him. It's God's action in the world that shows what kind of a good God he is. Isaiah 61 promises a prophet and a king who will bring good news. God promises justice for his people. God promises forgiveness for his people. God promises restoration for his people. God promises a Messiah for his people. All that so you might be restored to a place of honor. All that so you and all things might be the way that God designed them to be, so that you would reflect God's love in the world and show his goodness and his glory, that all creation would have no other choice and no other reaction than to praise God's name. That is the good news that Isaiah is talking about. That is the good news that God's Spirit-anointed Messiah is sent and apostled to proclaim and declare. And Isaiah's passage, his prophecy here, his good news of God's action is not lost on the people of his time who were in exile, nor is it lost in the centuries that follow. The people of Jesus' time were perfectly familiar with this passage, these promises, and they were eagerly awaiting this prophet, king, Messiah. And so it's not a wonder then that when Jesus of Nazareth went to the synagogue in Nazareth and spoke in the synagogue and began to preach, effectively launching his ministry. We read about it in Luke 4. He stood in the synagogue and he rolled the scroll of Isaiah open to this passage. And he read it to his neighbors. And he shocked everyone by saying, "Today, this passage is fulfilled in your midst." Even at the beginning, Jesus was declaring that he is God's Christ and that he would be the one to make this good news a reality. And his neighbors were shocked. Some were shocked and delighted, and they believed in him and chose to follow him. Some were skeptical and said, "Show me more proof. I want to see the bread in my hand and I want to see some miracles to prove that what you're talking about." Some were just plain threatened, didn't like his message of how this good news was for everybody. They said they didn't want their privilege being poked at. They didn't want the religious leaders didn't want to be threatened by this upstart saying he was going to bring the good news. They even, at that same sermon afterwards, some of them tried to throw him off a cliff. They were offended by him. They were waiting for the good news, but could hardly accept it when it came. Jesus kept on shocking people. Jesus kept on teaching. He teached all kinds of things that comforted the afflicted and afflicted the comfortable. He did miracles of healing and restoration that showed everybody what God's kingdom was supposed to look like. He proclaimed the forgiveness of sins. He showed his control over wind and waves and even creation itself. Jesus kept on shocking people until they nailed him to a cross to make him stop. And on that cross, ironically enough, Yahweh himself suffered all those afflictions that Isaiah lists so that his people could be restored and God would be glorified. Jesus came, told us that Isaiah's promises were coming true, that God's promises through Isaiah were coming true. And he suffered all those things in our place for us. But Yahweh isn't done. Even in death, God claims the victory and restored his Christ to life. In the resurrection, Yahweh proves that Jesus is his Christ and Messiah, the one that Isaiah promised. Yahweh enacts the justice that the world needs. Yahweh begins to set right all that has gone wrong in Christ's death and resurrection. Yahweh brings that good news that Isaiah declared to you and to me through his Christ. In Christ, we, the brokenhearted, have our hearts mended. In Christ, we, the captives, are given freedom, and we, the prisoners, are released from darkness. In Christ, we who have sold ourselves into a slavery of some kind can have our debt forgiven, and those who are treated unjustly will see justice. In Christ, those who mourn are given comfort. Those who grieve are and feel defeated are given gifts of beauty and victory. In Christ, we become and are called oaks of righteousness, plantings of the Lord, his garden, his trees. In Christ, God enacts all of his promises that he gives through Isaiah for us, for his people. Thanks be to God for remembering us, for seeking us, for rescuing us. Because God's love has dawned upon us. God's love spills over us, his people. Our lives are not perfect. We still have suffering. We still know what it's like to be afflicted with illness. We still grieve losses. We still know bondage to our own failures and the effects of sin of our own and others. We know depression and illness and addictions. But we also know that we have been made right with God. We know that God has got this. We know that God has got us. That we are in his hand, that nothing can separate us from his love. We know that in the resurrection, all our sufferings will cease and all will be made right everywhere. God's not done and he has got us. He is for us. This is the great news that Isaiah promised, and it has come true in Christ. To God be the glory. But Yahweh is still not done. Yahweh is still not done because God has given us his Spirit. The Spirit of the Lord is upon us. We are God's people, are called Christians. We are little Christs. We too are Messiah'd and Christed and anointed. In baptism, we too have been anointed into the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit. We share in Christ's death and resurrection. We have been anointed with his Spirit, not only washed clean, but also sent. We too are apostled. We are the people whom he commissions to make disciples of everyone, everywhere, because we have the good news. We have the good news, and others are in the darkness. Others are hurting. Others are suffering. Others are missing it. They have only fake news. We have the good news, and we are sent to bring it. Because you are redeemed, you are also sent. The Spirit equips us and calls us to share that good news. And we have experienced it, so we have a story to tell. We tell God's story, this hope, the hope that comes in desperation, the hope that comes in the darkness. We have the story of the light breaking upon us, of fresh wind blowing in the desert. We are sent to this together. I'm talking about things like back to God. We do this at a national and global scale. We have missionaries that we send out through Resonate. We have deacons and relief work that we do through our World Renew teams. We do this through media at Back to God. As a church, we do this together. We do it in all these languages. And we reach millions, right? We reach millions around the world through this work. But the stories come back to us one at a time. The people we reach are always one person at a time. Last week, I got a note that came across my desk from a guy named Terry. And he wrote, "I am currently incarcerated. I was able to obtain a copy of your Today devotional and a bag of books brought in by a volunteer. And I want you to know that your devotional has been a God-sent blessing and very instrumental in my growth and helping me share the word and my testimony with others. The Today has had the same effect on almost all of them." We send out thousands of those Todays, but they reach people one by one with the story of God and the story of God in their life. And it changes things. It changes their world. It reframes things. But we are also sent to this personally. We all have a story to share. When have you been brokenhearted? When have you been in bondage? When have you been trapped by an oppressive or unjust place? How has God touched your life and brought rescue? We talk about God's big, big story, creation, fall, redemption, transformation, new creation. We talk about this all the time. But when we talk about God's big story, and it is His story, there is one thread that weaves throughout it that is your story about God's work in your life. God is at work in your life. God has moved your shadows. And that's your story to tell. That is your good news to share with those who don't have good news. Who is it in your life right now that feels brokenhearted or captive or in bondage or in despair? Who feels like their life really has nowhere to go? Like there really is no hope? Your testimony, your story, is the light that breaks into that darkness. Your story is the good news to the brokenhearted captives in your life. God is at work through His Christ and through us, His people. And we are called to share and proclaim and sent to do so. If we're playing the "what's my line" game, Isaiah gives us the job description. And we hope that that panel would be able to tell that we know what our job is. We hope that they would see God through us, through our behavior, through our stories, through our actions, through how we proclaim the good news. We are His oaks of righteousness. We pray that we are fruit-bearing trees of righteousness. It's still God who sends. It's His news. It's His Spirit that equips us. It's His Spirit that even gives us the words and opens ears to hear and opens eyes to see. But we are still sent to our circle of influence, to those that we encounter, because in Christ we can proclaim mending to our brokenhearted neighbors. We in Christ can proclaim freedom to those who are held captive and those who are held bondage and imprisoned by their circumstances all around us. In Christ, we bear witness that those who are treated unjustly in our neighborhood can see justice, God's justice. In Christ, we speak comfort to our grieving friends. We speak victory to those who are defeated. In Christ, we seek to bear fruit as His plantings, as His garden. We are His oaks of righteousness and plantings of the Lord. May we bear fruit, all to honor God, all to God's glory. May we and our lives increase His reputation so that all of creation has no other choice but to say, "Praise the Lord." Thanks be to God. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before You. We ask for Your Spirit. Send Your Spirit upon us so that we would be energized, that we would be equipped, that we would know, that we would have the eyes to see those who need to hear our voice, so that we might bless those around us with Your good news. Send us, Lord. Make us Yours. Pray all this in Jesus' name. by the Spirit. Amen.